All right, welcome to the Swedish Junior Hockey Podcast. Jacob Dahlin, your host here today from what's called Slätta, or in Grästorp, Sweden, but now in outside of Washington, D.C. Max Nyström, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Scandlux, your home for Scandinavian luxury products for the U.S. market. You can find us at scandlux.com.
So we have a few common friends. We're going to talk about them. We've talked a little bit offline, and it's amazing how small the hockey world is. But Grästorp, USA, or Grästorp, Sweden, where is that for those who don't know?
So Grästorp, Sweden is in the southwest of Sweden, an hour and 10 minutes north of Gothenburg, I'd say.
Yep.
It's a small town where hockey really is the biggest thing in town.
Yeah. Awesome town and kind of farmland country, a lot of pig farms, flat land, wheat and grain fields.
Yeah.
Some rolling hills, but and what else is the nearest bigger city? Linköping, perhaps?
So I say the closest bigger city
Linköping.
Is Trollhättan and Linköping.
Okay.
And I'm actually from Trollhättan, but I play hockey in Grästorp.
Oh, we won't hold that against you. So
yep.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because you grew up playing in Trollhättan. So when did you move to, or when did you start playing with Grästorp?
So in my 16 year, we had like our teams played together, like we kind of combined and played together as one team, because there were not enough players for having two teams. So we kind of had like players from both teams play together, and that was my 16 year. And then after that, my first year of juniors in Sweden, my J18 year, I started playing for Grästorp fully.
But that's a smaller, much smaller town than Trollhättan. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, for sure. Like the I think there's like 65,000 people in Trollhättan, and Grästorp maybe have 7, 8, 9,000.
Yeah, but a nice rink there. I've been to that rink myself,
yep.
And of course I have friends that are living in outside of Grästorp.
Right.
But let's talk about that team. So I pulled it up here, the U16 team. Simon Niska was leading the team, who just played with my son in Mariestad, played on there, and is finishing the year now in back in Grästorp
in Division 2. Back in Grästorp in the senior team there. Yeah. Me and Niska, we played together in Trollhättan when we were younger. He's a year younger than me, but he was always like in the team that were above him, like with the 03s and 02s, because he was so skilled and so good. So I played him with him a lot. And
yeah,
that year in 16U, he had a decent amount of points, I remember.
Yep, 17 games, 34 points, not too shabby. Of course, this was U16, and was that? I've heard some talks about that. Was that? Did you guys beat Frölunda that year or something, or what was it?
I have not played Frölunda in that year. I know the year after when Simon Niska was the last, like the 16U age. I don't know if they played Frölunda, but that year they were very good. Like I think Simon had like 91 points in 17 games or something like that. And the same with Albin Sterner and Carl Sterner, the Sterner brothers. They were doing good. Albin Lidberg too.
So I was about to get to Sterner. Of course, the big name on this, we're going to talk about Hurtig, but a little bit, because it's so cool when you can see on a roster when you got a drafted player, right? If you're like me, who's an elite prospect geek. So did Bjarne, Axel's dad, did he coach that team?
So Bjarne was the coach for me in Grästorp, yes, correct. He was the coach for the 16U team and both of my years in J18.
Okay. So talking a little bit before we talk about the Hurtig, because of course Axel's brother Arvid, who's now playing also in Grästorp for the Division 2 team, right?
Arvid is playing in Hockey Allsvenskan.
Oh, he's in. Okay, who was it that was? I was just talking to. That's right. He was in Växjö. That's right.
Right. So he was playing in Växjö, and then he got a contract with the SHL team there. And I think after Christmas, he started playing with Kalmar in Hockey Allsvenskan.
Yes.
And that was Arvid Hurtig, the 03.
Yeah, who's the older brother? I'm looking. I know who it was. We were talking about Lucas Frank.
Right.
Who's from Falköping, and he is playing for Grästorp Division 2 now, I believe.
Correct. Correct.
And hoping to get his sister Felicia, who's a goalie, probably one of the top goalies in Sweden.
Yep.
I believe she's an 05.
She's an 05 and plays in Brynäs.
Brynäs, and she's going to Quinnipiac to play.
I heard. I heard she got a scholarship or something like that.
Yeah, so we're working on getting her on here. So it's kind of this hotbed of these smaller towns. And but let's talk about the Sterner brothers, because I think that everybody that I talk to, of course, I'm not familiar with Albin, who's the older brother, but I'm a little bit more familiar with Kalle, who I hear is going to be. What's your opinion? You played with him. He is a. Is he an 08?
Kalle is an 06.
06.
So when I was playing in my 16th year in Grästorp, he was 13 years old. And you could already see then that he was. It's gonna go good for him. Like, he was such a skilled player, and he was smart, and he was big already then. He was 13 years old, and after that, after 2 years in Grästorp, he took the step to Frölunda to play with the U16 elite team there.
Yeah, and of course played for the has played a very, very vital part in the national team, for all the way through there. And I guess he is playing. Is Martin Dahlin still coaching that U18 team?
Not the national team, I think.
Okay, I couldn't remember if he was still involved. Also, originally a Grästorp product, right?
True. Yeah.
And that's our mutual connection there with Yuan, his brother, of course. So
correct.
You talked to me after. So I'm going to spill the beans to those who are listening. I think you told me that the best coach you ever had was who?
Bjarne Hurtig, for sure.
Yeah. So why is that? Talk about Bjarne, who's not, you know, for those who are in the hockey community in Sweden knows who Bjarne is, but he's not been at the national team level and that kind of stuff, right?
Right. So Bjarne Hurtig, he was my coach, as I said, for 3 years in Grästorp. How should I say this? Like, him as a coach, he's very like understanding, and he sees what you need to improve on, because his experience in playing in the like top leagues in Sweden and playing hockey for a lot of years, he I feel like he knows how to develop players in another way, and that's what I know he saw in me. And I was his captain for 2 years in the J18 team. So we came pretty close, developing myself and trying to get the team as far as possible.
Yeah. What are the qualities? So he had the knowledge. That's one thing. But he was not necessarily a yeller and a screamer, right?
No, he never screamed at us. Like, of course, he got mad sometimes when you didn't get the puck out or did something stupid. But he explained stuff for us in another way. And in a way to help me understand and develop a lot.
All right, and then finally, we don't want to dwell too much on that team, but I do think it's cool to kind of go back to these type of things. So talk about Axel. Was he, you know, so that was U16. He was probably 2 years younger than you, but
he's a
big boy.
14 years old.
Yeah.
Yep. He was 14 years old, and he was one of the bigger kids on that team. So he also played like with the older teams when I was there. And Axel, he was, he took the step to Rögle and became a super good defenseman there, I would say. Not I'm pretty good friends with him, so I can say that he's not the most skilled defenseman, but it's very hard to score on him. Like he's very good defensively and over the whole ice.
Yeah, and I think that that's that's a he is the a chip off the old block, but and he's a big body. I remember seeing him 2 years ago, or basically not last summer before that. They had a national team camp in Falun, and they were there for a camp, and I thought, wow, for a J18 player, he looked like a man. And and very big. You're right. Not necessarily the most, the not the swiftest by foot, but good shot, good solid shutdown defenseman, and
For sure.
no surprise that he was drafted by Calgary. Just like a lot of the guys that are following Rasmus Dahlin's footsteps, eventually he'll find himself in the NHL, I would say.
I think so too.
Actually, as we speak, I believe he is playing in the SHL today for Rögle. That may be, is that his? He hasn't had that many SHL games, but that's a pretty, he's a normally plays on the J20 National there.
I think it's his third SHL game tonight.
Yeah. So, all right. So, talk a little bit about, so did you go to hockey gymnasium in Grästorp?
No, so I did not go to a hockey gymnasium in Grästorp or in Trollhättan
Or
at first.
they don't have a hockey gymnasium there, but they have a gymnasium in Grästorp, right?
They have like a hockey like program thing. They run from a different school that I went to.
Yep.
So the school is east of Grästorp, and I lived in Trollhättan. So I had 20 minutes to Grästorp from the other way. So it would have been far for me to go to another school that's like an hour away, basically.
Yeah.
So I did not go to a hockey program or hockey gymnasium, actually.
So what did you do? Where did you go to school, and what was your program?
So I went to Nils Ericson's gymnasium in Charlton, and I studied industrial production, really. Just a program they had on that school. And at the same time, I was playing for Grästorp J18.
Yeah. And then so 3 years of doing that, or up to J18, and then you decided, I'm gonna go to the Gothenburg and play for Kungälv.
Correct. So my
18
first year.
region. Explain the thought pattern there. When you're playing in Grästorp, awesome. You have what I've heard, and we'll get Helmer Dahlin on at some point, but one of the things he explained to me about what's unique in a town like Grästorp is that it's such a tight, there's not a lot of lines between J18 and the A team, or the J18 J20. I know that they don't currently have a J20 team, but right? Is that kind of how it was when you were there?
That's right.
Everybody was kind of together. But at the same time, there's no option there for a J20 region or a J20 national for you.
Right. So, after my so the my last year of J18, the COVID happened again, right? So we only played five games, and then the season was over. And I. For the my first year of J20, Grästorp wanted me to stay and play with the senior team there,
Yeah.
and I felt like I wanted to develop more within junior hockey and take like the next step in my development really, and I felt like playing J20 region would be a better option for me than
Yeah.
playing senior hockey in as a 17-year-old in Vastor.
Yep. Not so, but that must have been a little bit of, I'm looking at everybody's stats. A lot of that must have been a little bit of a tough year.
For me personally,
No, I'm talking about for the team. You did good. You're third in scoring here for in 24 games, but did they I know that they've been up in I don't know if they've been up and down, but that's a tough league, J20 Region South.
I mean, it's a good league, yeah. I mean, and we weren't the best team in that league. So, like, if you just look on points and stuff and scoring, we didn't have a lot of points, all of us. I
Yeah.
think we had one player that were point per game. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, we did good. We stayed in J20 regional in that league. We didn't get relegated to J20 Division One. So we managed to stay in that league, and that was something we were looking for after Christmas to stay in J20 regional.
Yeah. And then, so how did so how did you end up so we if we're clicking on your profile here, you ended up saying, I'm gonna go play in the United States. How did that all come about? When did the seeds get planted for you, and who was the first person that you talked to, and how did that all come about?
So I would say it all started like when I was like 10 or 11 years old. We went to the States on vacation and we watched two NHL games, and I felt like I really wanted to play hockey in the States because it seemed like a cool thing. And after my year in Kronjal, my first year of J20, I felt like I wanted to, like, same thing with like before I went to Kronjal, like I wanted to develop my game and my career like as fast as I could, really. So I felt like playing junior hockey in the States should be a good thing for me.
Did you know much
So
about it?
like I had watched like clips on YouTube and stuff, you know, like a day in the life as a junior hockey player, you know, that stuff. So I was kind of like excited about like that life. So at the end of the season with Kronjal, I had an advisor reach out to a few teams in the US, and I signed a contract with Potomac in March 31st, I think.
Okay. And you had finished your or not at, but you were finishing up in school in terms of your gymnasium education, right?
Right, so I was doing my third year, my last year of the gymnasium before I graduated in June that
Yeah,
year.
which for those who are listening outside of Sweden, gymnasium is kind of like high school but plus another year. It's not equivalent, but it's still, you know, it doesn't give you necessarily any extra credits if you're going to go play college or if you're going to go to college in the US, but typically it's 3 years post ninth grade, so it's 12th grade, but it's really 1 year older than the US high school student in the equivalent.
Correct. Yeah.
So all
So
right. So and who was your advisor then?
I had Sebastian Grönborg on Scan American.
Yep. And who places a lot of kids over here in different programs, and you know, there's not that many in the US that kind of has those connections, and he's kind of the West Coast guy, right? And then you got McCarthy that works with Future Stars Academy, who's not an advisor, but he runs camps there that does a really, really good job in kind of connecting people and has a lot of experience. And you know, I think is a you know, those guys know the ropes and these type of things. So what was your was that kind of on your own, or was that kind of how was that discussion with your parents? Because you're still kind of a young guy, and you said, "Hey, I want to do this,"
I
and they
mean,
said, "What?"
they wanted me to do what I wanted. Like, if I wanted to go have fun playing junior hockey in America for 1 or 2 years, they supported that. But of course, obviously they were gonna miss me. But my dad said, like, you only get this chance once. Like, you can't do this when you're 26. It's pretty hard.
But it's not cheap, right? So, I mean, what goes into, of course, the US programs here, they kind of like bringing Swedes in, and you may not have, everybody doesn't necessarily pay the same, and it can be, USPHL can be really expensive, right? Let's talk about that a little bit.
So I've heard people in this league pay a lot of money to play here, a lot of money for me, like as a Swede. So obviously that
Ridiculous
was
amount of
something.
money for a Swede.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like on Americans like that's a lot of money, but for me, like, personally, that would be a lot of money. But that was obviously something I thought about before I came here, like the amount of money I would have to spend.
But at the same time, because in comparison, when you're playing in Kungälv or Grästorp, what were your fees?
We paid one fee at the start of the year. That was like 500-600 bucks, and that was it. Yeah.
Bus trips are paid for, okay, you may have to sell some bingo lotto
Yeah.
tickets and toilet paper and not sure what else to help with fundraising. But it's really a you know, why is it so different is Grästorp, Kungälv, a lot of these teams, they have lots and lots of volunteers. The ice is provided by typically the community rink, so the cost of ice is not as expensive, and lots of, every parent is expected to help out when it comes to, you know, manning the hot dog booth during the Division II games and those type of things, right? But it is very, very different financially. And so how did that work then? When did you come over to Potomac? So Potomac Patriots plays USPHL Premier, which is located outside of DC, what, in Alexandria or?
In Dale City, it's called.
Okay, didn't know that.
Dale City. So southwest of DC, about 30 minutes south.
Okay. And so when did you go over there?
So I came to DC on the 1st of August, really, on 2022. So that year in August.
Yeah. And no school at that time, right? Or did you do any kind of studying?
No, so when I played junior hockey last year, I didn't do any school. It was just basically hockey.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a job, so like, no school, no job, just hockey. Like, that was the life.
In a new country, as a Swede. Not bad. But you had, what kind of visa did you have then? Was that like an F1 or something?
I had a B1, B2 visa.
B1, B2. It's been 30 years from now for me, so I can't remember all that stuff. And billet, or what was your living situation?
Yeah, so we all stay in billet families, like a kind of like a host family.
Yep.
So we have someone to come home to, really, and we pay them an amount every month for food and housing.
Yeah. A roommate? Did you have a roommate, or were you by yourself?
No, I stayed last year with Elias Algotsson Holm, the goalie we had from Sweden,
Yep.
and before Christmas, I guess you had on the podcast, Marius Angelin. He
Yep.
came and stayed with us for
Yep.
a month or two.
Also a Gothenburg guy, or from Bekken,
Correct.
Kungälv's rivalry games down there.
Yeah, I played him in my year in Trinidad.
Yeah. So did you know that ahead of time that there was going to be some other Swedes?
Yeah, I mean, I was the first one to sign for the whole club, really. And then I knew that my advisor had other clients that were also talking to Potomac. So my friend Jacob Johannesson, he also came here, and he signed in like April, a bit after me.
Yeah. So of
And
course
then
they
my
said,
roommate Elias too.
yeah, and they said, you know, hey, you should go. Max is going, so why don't you go too? What was your biggest, so coming over, what was your biggest, you've been over to the States before, but not in this way. What was your biggest, what was profound to you when you came off the ice and on the ice?
So I would say on the ice, it's obviously a lot more physical than Swedish hockey.
Yeah,
You
I would say
you
that.
gotta be smart. You gotta be smart when you have the puck. You can't skate with your head down in the ice because something bad could happen
Yep.
anyway.
Yep.
And
And
but that was
different
also
rules
something.
too. Different rules when it
Yeah,
comes
different
to.
rules. Yep. In Sweden, if you hit 1 second late, it's a penalty, right? It's not like this over here. But that's also something that I took into my game and tried to develop, like the game, like around the boards, behind the net, like the battles and all that. And I would say off the ice, I mean, personally, I really like Americans. Like I think that Americans are nice people. Like and enjoy talking to. Like if you see someone out in at a mall or at a restaurant, everybody say hi. Like you say hi to each other and you're nice to people.
But that's not unfamiliar. That's kind of how it is in Gnestorp. I mean,
Yeah.
I've never met a person from that area that wasn't friendly.
True. In Gnestorp, it is like that for sure. But if you go to bigger towns, it's like if you see someone like out downtown, you don't really say hi to everybody like that.
Yeah. But and then this next year, so if we so let's be frank here, you know, your first year with USPHL Premier, let me get to that. You had 17 goals, 32 assists in 41 games, so more than 1 point per game. You went to the playoffs. You probably had a blast that year.
I mean, it was a good year for sure. I really enjoyed being here last year,
Yeah.
with all the Swedes we had and the coaches here and the coaching staff and owners. It was a fun season.
Yeah. And then you decided next season I want to continue my development, right? So what was that like in terms of your okay, now I'm over here and did you know much about the other leagues here? Because you ended up, so fast forward, you ended up going to Pueblo Bulls with NCDC. But take us back to kind of that thought process of as you're going through the 22-23 season, you're having a good year. You know, when did you start thinking about, hey, I want to stay another year?
So I would say really, I'd say maybe after Christmas sometimes I felt like I wanted to try another year over here. And obviously I didn't want to stay at the same level. I want to keep developing and go to the next level, right? And I felt like if I'm a point per game guy in this league, I could probably fight for a spot in the NCDC or not. So when I came back to Sweden in April after the season with Potomac, I went to the showcase that Dan McCarthy has up in Stockholm,
Okay, so you did go up there.
the Future Star Showcase. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny how I didn't know that, and it's such a common thread. I mean, you're probably like the sixth guest that is playing here in the US or Canada that has gone through Future Stars Academy or Future Stars Showcase. Those showcases, talk about that because, you know, first of all, not everybody get to go.
Right.
Right.
So there's an invitation, like they don't take everybody. I know they even say no to some players that are too good for the showcase because they will just be the highlight of the whole showcase. But yeah, it's up in Knivsta, Stockholm, and you go up there and you play four games, you have four practices, and there's scouts and coaches from the US watching you every time you're on the ice.
And okay, you probably were told that ahead of time, right? Did you only go once?
Oh, I only went this summer, yeah. So
Yeah.
in May 2023.
Yeah, so May 2023. So it's really good timing. I mean, right now as we're recording this, we're at the end of February, and people are starting to, and it may already be full by the time this gets re released, which is going to be in a couple of weeks. It's probably full, but I think in this, when we're talking about junior hockey, there's so much information, and so there's advisors left and right, and this program, that program, this camp, and this camp, and not all are good, right?
Correct.
And everybody says, we're going to give you exposure, and you're going to get scouted, and we're going to get you looks and stuff like that. Did you have some skepticism about going there? Or like, will this really be worth it?
I mean, of course you think about it, but at the same time, I like it's proven that they can get players over to the States, right? They had a lot of clients that have played junior hockey in the States before, so I was like, why not? And I would rather go to a showcase in Sweden than going over to the US to go to four different main camps, like
Yeah.
for NHL and NCDC teams.
Well, talk about then. So how did you do in the so you played on some teams, but at the same time, the teams were, I mean, it's not like the main thing was for you to win the games and win the tournament that is going to get you over there. It's going to be, they're going to look at who's this kid and is this something I'm interested in, right?
Yeah, at the showcase, you don't really, at least not me. Like I didn't play to win the hockey game. You know, I played to show myself as a hockey player and show all my skills really.
So did that result in you getting in touch with NCDC?
Yeah, I mean, at the same time. So the Pueblo Bulls, they signed an affiliation with the Potomac Patriots,
I
and
see.
that happened last spring. And so around this time in May 2023, that summer, and I had a few teammates there that were tendered by the Pueblo Bulls, and I felt like Pueblo were somewhere that I wanted to play for, seeing online there all their fans and you know that division seemed kind of cool. So
And that year was the first year in the NCDC for them, right?
yeah, so they were in the expansion division from the Premier up to the NCDC in the West.
Yeah. And so let's talk about that next. So NCDC, Pueblo Bulls, not Washington, D.C.
It's a bit different for sure. It's a it's
Where is
a
Pueblo?
so Pueblo is located 2 hours south of Denver in Colorado. So yeah, for sure, a bit different from Washington, D.C.
But for you being, okay, now you've been on the, I mean, because if you're playing in Potomac, that's like suburb of the big city, and it's not countryside,
Right.
right? I mean, I know that some of it you can get out there, but it's really, every fast food, every restaurant, every shopping center, every corner looks about the same, and it's the same
Yeah.
over there as it is in Boston, as it is in Raleigh, North Carolina, they're all the same. It's just different sizes, right? But Colorado looks different, feels different, is different.
Yeah, I mean, like around the city of Pueblo, we had mountains and like desert really.
Yeah.
We
But
didn't have that in
awesome.
DC.
What an awesome experience for you to be able to go and be somewhere different and in a different culture as well.
For sure. I really enjoyed where Pueblo was located because I personally like mountains and the rivers and like the wildlife.
Yeah. So what was the biggest difference there? I know that you had, of course, some bad luck. I mean, bad luck with injury, and that kind of derailed what your plans were. We'll talk about, but okay. The process of going playing in the USPHL versus NCDC, it is a big step up, right? What do you
I
think?
mean, I would say so.
Yeah.
Because I had to go to their main camp, right? And that was in the beginning of August last year. And when I went there, I didn't know if I was gonna make the team or not. Like that's how May camps work. I know I wanted to try to play in the NCDC for sure. So I went there with an open mind to I could grab a spot, and I ended up being on the training camp roster.
Yeah. And so when did you get hurt?
So, first time I got hurt was like second week of training camp.
Oh.
Yep. That then it was the my left groin that was hurting.
Yeah, you don't really need a
Yeah.
groin playing hockey anyway, right?
True. You don't need a groin to skate at all.
So what was it like there? Because NCDC, USPHL Premier, not a lot of people go and watch spectators, right? But
Right.
in the central, is it called the central in the NCDC?
It's called the West Division or
West Division.
Midwest.
You know, I had Lucas Carlson, who at the time he is with Idaho Spud Kings now, but he was telling me they had 5,000 people in the stands.
Playing that division is very different from out here in the East, in Potomac. You know, at the home games in Pueblo, we had about 700, 800, 900 fans at the game. And then it wasn't even full. Like it wasn't sold out. Like there was a lot of empty seats, and there
Yeah.
were still like 800 people. And we went to Idaho to play his team, Lucas' team, and they had 5,000 people sold out in that week. That was probably the biggest, like the most exciting hockey game in my career, for sure, playing in front of all those fans.
Yeah. No, it's I mean, that's what's great, right? And I wish it was like that everywhere, but it's unique. They've got something going there with that team. But so talk about the differences in the USPHL Premier versus NCDC in terms of professionalism within organizations a little bit. Now, Pueblo, that was the first year, but I'm sure they're trying to establish themselves, but a little bit more professional, more people working for the organization. Is that right?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like at the home games, you had security guards. You had people like going on the ice, like in the intermissions. You had people working in the cafeteria. You know, there was a lot of people working at the games, like that made it seem more professional than out here in the East Division.
And it's because it's a business, right? It's and did
Correct.
you feel that too, that this is a business and the good parts about, hey, this is a business, this is a crowd's coming and there's this is now entertainment business.
I mean, like all those, like the fans and all the workers at the rink, they made it feel more professional because it was more of a business. You know, they had fans and all that. Like they gotta have, make the fans have a good experience at the game. So that's
Yeah.
what they were working for.
Yeah. But there's a downside to that too, right? So when I'm pulling up the roster here of the NCDC, there's 38 players, not counting goalies. So that's and plus five goalies on this roster for one season.
In Pueblo,
Yeah.
yep,
For
and you know,
the full year, which means what? There's people coming and going, and it's not a And that's not all due to injuries, right? It's a little bit of a
correct.
cutthroat, which is very different than Grästorp Kungälv in Sweden, where you know everybody's gonna get fairly equal playing time and
Yeah.
right.
I mean, at this level, at the tier two level in the States, you are replaceable, like every time, really. Like if you don't do your job, there's someone else that can do it instead of you, right?
Yeah.
And that's different from Grästorp and Kungälv, as you said, like and Sweden, and also tier three in America. It's not the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think that's so what's your opinion on that? I mean, did that kind of short did that create did that shape you into a different player or a different person as well?
I mean, everybody had to have a mindset of like when you come to the rink, you're there to work and like to compete for a spot. Like, and if you didn't do that, there's someone else coming.
Yeah. No, and I
And
think that that's
I think that's po positive. But just then you work harder every practice and every game, and you have to do that to stay there.
yeah.
It's also negative because if you feel like you don't perform or you're having some trouble, it can maybe be hard to get right mental.
And the reason I'm bringing that up is I think the physical aspect, but there's a mental aspect of the game and juniors in the United States that is very different than juniors in Sweden. And not everybody in Sweden are suited to make that kind of leap physically or mentally, right? And it's not easy. And regardless, it shapes you and it makes you a different person, perhaps. Now you had a little bit of a tough break there with injuries, but what was the biggest takeaway from that year, you would say?
I'm in Pueblo, so this season, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
I would say what I brought like with me from Pueblo and from the NCDC is, I'd say I developed my game of hockey for sure. Like you played against better players, you practice against better players every day, and I felt like I took a few steps in my development as well. And at the same time, so you're if you see like off the ice, you are 13 hours from your family in Sweden, and there's a 8 hour different time difference. So you develop as a person too, being away from home and meeting new people and everything like that off the ice.
Yeah. We're going to round out here, but we have two things we always do. Number one, which I think, so you're let's say you are 20 now, right? You're 20, so you met yourself at 17. Seems like that's not very, very long ago, but I would imagine from 17 to 20, it's a huge time period from a standpoint of maturity. What would you say to yourself if you met yourself at 17 today? Things that you didn't know back then that you wish that you know now, that you wish you would have known.
I would say if I had knew that the hockey in America it was as physical as it was, I think I could have prepared myself better in Sweden before coming to the States. But at the
Yeah.
same time, mentally, when I was 17, I was kind of like I understood that I had to work to get wherever I wanted, and
Yeah.
that's what I would say I've done for the past three or four seasons.
What do you think your conversation would your conversation with Bjarne be different today than when you were at 17?
I mean, it would probably be about the same. He would tell me stuff I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, are you still in touch with him? Staying in touch with him?
I talk to him often. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that with other players. To me, that's just such a big testimony towards a coach is how your players are staying in touch, not just with them at the time, but
At the same time, I'm best friends with his son, so
yeah.
Axel.
Yeah.
So I meet him often too.
Yeah, we got to get him on here. Before I get to the last segment, I do have to mention that when I was coaching here in the US, it was U14, and of course U1 was here at the time. U1 Dahlin and his son Helmer was here and coaching the U12s, and we were going on it. This was this time of year, and we were planning on going to this postseason tournament. And we were talking through U1 directly with Axel and say, hey, we really want to come. You can play on our team. And he was this close to coming over. But I think Bjarne put the kibosh on that and said, no, you're staying home. So that would have been what could have been if we brought Axel with us on that. And we probably would have gotten you with us then too.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I remember Axel talking about, yeah, I might go play a tournament in the States this spring. You know, I'm excited and everything like that. But if Bjarne told him to stay in Sweden, that was probably the best option for him.
Yeah, and what ended up happening was I think it was Tevepuken year, and there were spring camps,
Oh yeah.
and it was all about, you know, the preparation for that, which in retrospect was 100% the right advice and the right decision to do. But it was kind of fun, and it's been fun to then stay in touch because I was talking directly with Axel, who was at the time, you know, 14, and I remember him being very enthusiastic and very, very mature about the thought. And it's been fun to then kind of keeping up with him in his career and continuing to do. So we will have him on at some point. And we may do it around the draft here. I think that's going to be, I think what we're going to do is use Axel Hurtig as the inside draft guide to Kalle Sterner. That's going to be fun.
That could be good.
That'll be a fun subject.
I'll call Axel after this and tell him to get on the podcast.
Yeah, well, I've had multiple people. Helmer has been my insider guy to we were at Brödernas and having a hamburger, and he's texting with Axel and so we will make it happen. Last thing, we have a partnership with Target Aid, which is an organization out of Stockholm that does fundraising for they were just successful with a 1.8 million crown fundraising effort with Djurgården. It's exploding there. And one of the things, we have a presence on their site with Swedish junior hockey on targetaid.com, and the present the segment that we have is Klubben i mitt hjärta, the club in my heart. And you're going to have a special little section there, highlighting, and we're going to provide content for them and for your club that we provide, and hopefully that can be used in many different ways. But the question to you is, what is the team in your heart?
The team in my heart, yeah, I gotta say where I grew up. It's gotta be Trollhättan.
Trollhättan. All right. Trollhättan.
Trollhättan Hockey
All
Club.
right. So Trollhättan. So what's going to happen? We're probably going to get you them in touch with you, and then we will find some ways to make a story out of it that Trollhättan can use to say, hey, we got this kid that grew up here with us, played in Grästorp, played here, played there. And because you're going to go places, there's no doubt in my mind. And that's going to be cool for people in Trollhättan to see. And then they can use it to perhaps use it for fundraising and content on their end as well. That's what we're here to do, is help as much as we can. So, hey, it's been cool. I'm going to head to the airport and try to pick up Eric as he is back from Sweden. So it's going to be fun to
Awesome.
see him again.
Awesome. See
Have a
you.
great one, and we'll be in touch soon.